Gospel reading today is from the Gospel of John, chapter 5, and reading from verse 19. Now, today I'm actually reading the Message version of the Bible, which is a paraphrase by Eugene Peterson. This is a complex passage. There's a lot of thoughts in here, and I think that Eugene Peterson brings it out in a simple and powerful way. So in John 5, Jesus says, "In the same way that the Father raises the dead and creates life, so does the Son. The Son gives life to anyone he chooses. Neither he nor the Father shuts anyone out. The Father handed all authority to judge over to the Son so that the Son will be honored equally with the Father. Anyone who dishonors the Son dishonors the Father, for it was the Father's decision to put the Son in the place of honor. It's urgent that you listen carefully to this. Anyone here who believes what I am saying right now and aligns himself with the Father, who has in fact put me in charge, has at this very moment the real lasting life and is no longer condemned to be an outsider. This person has taken a giant step from the world of the dead to the world of the living. It's urgent that you get this right. The time has arrived. I mean right now, when dead men and women will hear the voice of the Son of God, and hearing will come alive. Just as the Father has life in himself, he has conferred on the Son life in himself. And he has given him the authority, simply because he is the Son of Man, to decide and carry out matters of judgment. Don't act so surprised at all of this. The time is coming when everyone dead and buried will hear his voice. Those who have lived the right way will walk out into a resurrection life. Those who have lived the wrong way into a resurrection judgment." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Jess, do you have a time, kids' time? So if the kids want to go with you into that room, there's some Advent things happening, I think. So, kids, if you could please go with Jess, that would be great. And as we meditate on God's word, let's pray. Heavenly Father, please send your Holy Spirit so that my words may have the effect that you want on your people, and that we may trust in Jesus for our judgment and our salvation. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I might get Yvette to hand out a Bible to anyone who wants one, because once again we'll be looking at Bible during the sermon. And if you have a Bible on your device or your phone, you're welcome to use that as well. So if you want a physical Bible, please put up your hand and Yvette will hand one out to you. Today I'm talking about something that makes most of us uncomfortable, and that is judgment. Judgment Day. Not the most pleasant, perhaps, or comfortable topic of all of Christian theology. And the other day, I was sitting at the table and my daughter was watching something on television, and it was something, you know, it wasn't that great. She was just switching her brain off. And anyway, I was kind of looking at what she was watching, and I raised my eyebrow, I think, at her. And she said, turned around and said, "Don't judge me." And I said, "I didn't say anything." And she said, "No, but I can hear what you're thinking." I want to think with you a little bit about judgment and how we in everyday life perceive judgment, how we receive judgment from other people, even from ourselves, about everyday forms of judgment. So, in terms of having a bit of a dialogue, what are some of the ways that you feel or you perceive that you are being judged, either by self or by the people around you in daily life? This is a genuine question taking real answers. Looks, weight, okay? Wow, the whole, appearance, body image thing, yep. Do you get evaluated at work? Mandy does, yeah. And is that always a wonderful and comfortable kind of process? No? Okay. What about criticism? Does anyone ever receive criticism? Yeah? Yeah. Carolyn? Wow, and how did that feel? Not very nice. What other forms of judgment? Does anyone have a voice in their own head sometimes that goes, you're no good, you can't be forgiven, whatever it might be, you know, you can't measure up? Yeah. You know, as a pastor, I feel judgment and evaluation both from myself and from other people about my sermons, about how good a preacher I am, about how good a pastor I am, whether I'm doing all the stuff that God has called me to do, and the answer to that is always no, because there's always more stuff to do than could possibly be done. All of that kind of thing. Judgment, criticism, evaluation, measuring up, accusation, that internal voice that says you're not good enough. Comparison, social media, man. I mean, it's all, judgment is all over social media, isn't it, Hannah? Yes, Hannah would know this. She's a high schooler. So, you know, you're constantly comparing yourself to other people on social media, and we get really anxious because everyone presents their best life on Facebook, right? Or on Instagram or Twitter, right? Oh, I'm having this wonderful restaurant meal. Here's, you know, four pictures of this amazing meal, and you're going, and here I am sitting at home in front of the television eating heated up party pies. How does that make me feel, right? Judgment is all around us, but it seems that judgment in modern social context is one of the worst things that we can do to people. That comment from my daughter, don't judge me, or don't judge anyone else. Being judgmental is a big social no-no. But we all do it, don't we? And we all are on the receiving end of it. Well, when it comes to God's judgment, multiply that by however many times that you want. Okay? Why? If we're feeling fearful and anxious about what other people think about us, if we have a sense of accusation in our own head or heart that says you're not good enough, how much more anxious and fearful could we be about God's judgment? Why? Two reasons. First of all, God knows everything. God knows all about me. And when it talks about judgment day in, say, Revelation, and we see that books are going to be opened, and everyone is going to see all the things that I've ever done and thought, and all my little petty jealousies and ego and pride and fear and anxiety and lust and all of that other stuff, it's all just going to be laid out there because God knows it all. And it's like, man, I'm in trouble. I'm in big trouble. I don't really want to face that kind of judgment. The other thing about God, of course, is that his performance review has eternal consequences. Not just for your job or your income or whatever, but for your destiny. What God's judgment is of you has eternal consequences. If I look at the playlist of my life and I weigh up whether I've done good or practiced what is not so good, I know that I'm not going to come out on the positive side of that ledger. How will I measure up against God's eternal standard? Well, I know the answer to that. It won't be a good outcome. It won't be a good result. However, hopefully, there is good news. And in fact, there is good news, and I invite you to turn to John chapter 5, our gospel reading for the day. And we're going to look at some of that good news. And the good news is summed up in this one phrase. The good news is that Jesus is the judge. The good news is that Jesus is the judge. Could someone find and read out in a nice loud voice for us, John 5, verse 22. Moreover, the Father judges no one, but has entrusted all judgment to the Son. God the Father has said to Jesus, all this judging that needs to be done, it's all in your hands. It's all in your court, my son. You are the one who gets to decide how people are judged. But that's good news for us. It's good news that God has entrusted all judgment to Jesus. Because Jesus is the one who goes to the cross to be the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Jesus is the one who bears the punishment and the judgment for all sin in his own body on the cross. He's the one who is resurrected to new life and so can give us the resurrection life as well. The Savior is the judge. The judge is the Savior. I tell you, if I was a criminal, which I am not, and I walked in to be sentenced in a courtroom and I saw my best friend was actually the judge, I think my spirits would lift somewhat, because maybe I might have a chance with this person who's actually in my favor, right? The Savior is the judge. The good news is that Jesus' judgment is the only one that really matters in the end. Not the voices in our head or heart or the criticism or judgment from the other people around us. It's what Jesus says about us that determines our final destiny and counts for eternity. And Jesus says in John chapter 5, verse 24, I tell you the truth, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. Wow. How incredibly good news. I tell you the truth, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. They have crossed over from death to life. But how can we know? Because like later Jesus says in verse 29, 28 and 29, don't be amazed at this, for the time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done good will rise to live, and those who have done evil will rise to be condemned. How can we be sure? How can we know for certain that we have done good, in Jesus' words? Well, I want you to turn over one chapter to John chapter 6, verse 28 and 29. And this is after Jesus has fed the 5,000 and the people are coming to him and they're going, how can we be sure? Jesus, how can we be sure? Would someone like to read verse 28 and 29 for us? Okay, can I get someone to read it in the NIV? Sorry, but yeah, that's okay. How do you know you've done good? Jesus says it right here. It's not about what you do. It's about putting your trust in the one who is both judge and savior. What must we do to do the works that God requires? What do we have to do to win God's favor? The people are asking. And Jesus says simply, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent, to trust in Jesus. That's all. That's the only work. And it's not even a work, because it's the Holy Spirit at work in us to bring us to faith in Jesus. We can face judgment with confidence. Not with arrogance, because it's not about us and how much good we've done in our life, but with confidence that through Jesus we have forgiveness. And that the verdict is actually going to be not guilty. This it also comes through really strongly in John chapter 3, from that famous passage, probably most of us are aware of it, John 3:16. But let's read the next verse as well. So can someone in a nice loud voice read John 3:16 and 17? See that? For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Jesus, the just and loving and forgiving Savior, is also the judge, and God didn't send him to condemn, but to save. Jesus' verdict on those who trust him is not guilty. It is beloved child of God. It is member of the Father's family. And the verdict has an outcome. And that outcome is that we have moved from death to life. We deserved a death sentence, but Jesus has given us a life sentence in the best possible way. His outcome of his judgment and of his verdict is eternal life. Now, if we go back to John chapter 5 and read verse 24 again, It says, I tell you the truth, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. This is really interesting because Jesus is not saying will have eternal life after they die. He's saying has eternal life right now and will not be condemned. Eternal life is not just life with God forever after we die. It's life with God right now in a different kind of existence from what we had before. A life that is open to God and to all of his love, grace, and forgiveness for us. We have moved from death to life. We who believe in Jesus have eternal life, which is life with God right now. And after we die and after we are resurrected, we won't be condemned. This is indeed good news for us. There's a quality of life which is enfolded in God's love and forgiveness right now. Don't judge me, said my daughter. Don't judge me, say all of our hearts when we think about God and what he could do to us. But here's the good news. Only the judgment of Jesus ultimately matters. What you think about yourself, what other people think about you, in the end, all of those things will be wrapped up in Jesus and in his forgiveness and in his love and in his verdict of not guilty. There is only one judgment that really counts. God's judgment of us through Jesus. Not guilty. Child of God. And this is who we are. And for the conclusion of my sermon today, I want to play for you that song. Some of you saw it before the service. It's called You Say by Lauren Daigle. And I invite you to sit and meditate and reflect on these words and what God says about us.
I keep fighting voices in my mind that say I'm not enough. You'll have every failure, God. You'll have every